into our hearts today. Let your Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, be in complete control, Lord God. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to the church. Give us hearts to obey. Bless us as only you can, and we will be blessed. We ask this in faith, and we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk from a subject, simply one word: return. Return. We are definitely living in the last days, without a doubt. And evil men and seducers, as the Bible has declared, are waxing worse and worse. Wickedness is unleashed like never before. And we, as the people of God, have a responsibility, a personal responsibility, and what I believe a corporate responsibility, to take an inventory of ourselves. And if we're honest, and that's the only way the inventory will help, is that we be honest. We have to confess that many have wandered away. There's a smaller portion, I believe, who are remaining steadfast to the Lord and to his word and to his righteousness than needs to be. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but just hang with me. We need to, in one regard or another, return. And we need to return to God. To God. We have on the monitors scriptures in Joel chapter number 2. But before we get to Joel chapter number 2, I want to give us a little backdrop. I believe that will help us. In the Old Testament, King Solomon, we believe, is the son of King David. And those of us who are familiar with King David, we know that David was a mighty warrior for God. And we know that he was a worshiper, he was a praiser, he was a soldier as well, and he was a king. And he wanted, it was his desire to build a house for God. It was his desire to build a place where the Lord's name would be. But the Lord let him know, no, your son's going to build this house. And it came to pass that Solomon, in fact, did build the house for the Lord. And once it was all prepared, he dedicated the house. You can look in 2 Chronicles. You can see the dedication that Solomon did for the house of the Lord. Solomon prayed in his early life as king, and when he was about to be king, and God told him, ask for what you want. And he asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom that he might be able to lead God's people. He didn't ask for the death of his enemies. He didn't ask for riches, but he asked for wisdom to lead God's great people. And the Lord said, since you didn't ask for those things, I'm going to give these things to you anyway. Amen. So in the sixth chapter of 2 Chronicles, Solomon is praying. He's praying for the dedication of the house that he built for the Lord. And I want to pick up in that 24th verse. I have the Amplified Bible. So Solomon is praying, and we enter in to listen in to his prayer and see what the Lord will speak to us on today through the words of 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 24. Solomon's praying. He's continuing in his prayer. He says, if your people Israel have been defeated before the enemy because they have sinned against you and shall return, confess your name and you yourself and pray and make supplication before you in this house. Now notice, if you will, Solomon in his prayer here, he gives a reason for the defeat, or he gives a reason for the potential defeat of Israel's army. And the reason for the potential defeat, because he said, if your people, right? So he's offering up some prayers here, but he gives the reason and shows a clear way that the army can be defeated. And the army can be defeated because they have sinned against you. So sin can cause the enemy to overrun you. Right? So this is what we need to understand, this historical concept, and it's still enforced today. Sin can cause the enemy to overrun you. But he says, if they return and confess your name and you yourself and pray and make supplication before you in this house, Solomon said, if they do that, if the army does that, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them again to the land which you gave to them and to their fathers. He goes on to say, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you. See the consequences of sin? The heavens can be shut up. There can be no rain. Drought can come. And natural drought can come. Spiritual drought can come. Because your people have sinned against you. See, now here's Solomon said, when the heavens are shut up. So Solomon must have knew something. He understood, because again, he asked God for wisdom. He understood the nature of people. And we somewhat understand the nature of people, and people left to their own devices will go against God. So he said, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, yet if they pray towards this place, confess your name and you yourself and turn from their sin when you afflict them. So he understands that sometimes God has to afflict his people to get our attention. Sometimes. And the affliction comes because we, as God's people, sin against God. Sin against God. He said in verse 27, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, all of your people Israel, when you have taught them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain upon your land, which you have given to your people for an inheritance. Solomon is saying, God, you taught them the right way. They know the right way, but they made decisions to turn against you and walk in their own way. And when you afflict them because you love them enough to get their attention and let them know you're out of line. And when you afflict them, and when they understand the affliction, and when they receive the affliction, and when they turn and they confess, they pray, they confess their sin, and they turn to you, all of them, then I want you to hear, God. I want you to hear. And I want you to send rain upon them. He continues upon their land, which you've given them. He continues in verse number 28. If there is famine in the land, it seems like nothing is happening. It seems like everything we put our hand to, stuff is just dried up. If there is pestilence, if there's blight, mildew, locusts, underline that locust, if you, or caterpillar, because we're going to visit that in Joel. If their enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever plague or sickness there may be, then whatever prayer, verse 29, or supplication any man or all of your people Israel shall make, each knowing his own affliction. See, we can't just get a general prayer, but we have to know our own affliction. We have to own and know our own sin. We have to own and know our own shortcoming. It's not like a, Lord, you know. No, you got to own what's yours. You know, you can't come with a blanket, just pray for me. No, this is you and God. Huh? You and God. He said, then here. I'm sorry. Let me finish that. Where am I? Hold on just a moment. 29? All right. I'm working with a new device. Then whatever prayer or supplication any man or all of your people Israel shall make, each knowing his own affliction and his own sorrow, stretching out his hands toward this house, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and render to every man according to all his ways, whose heart you know. See, we have to realize and remember that God knows our heart. So we can't come to God, we can't return to God half-heartedly. We can't return to God shaking and faking. We can't return to God and tell God, well, fill in the blank. No, you got to own everything that you've done, own everything that you think. You got to own everything that you say, own every place that you went, that you had no business going, own all of it has your name on it. When I hit a bad shot, and I'm playing golf, I hit a bad shot, and I tell whoever I'm playing with, well, that's mine, I got to own it. That's my bad shot, I did it. You got to own your bad shots. So you got to own every bad shot, every bad move that you made, every bad move that you might even be contemplating right now. You got to own it. If you're going to return. He says, then whatever prayer or supplication any man or all of your people Israel shall make, each knowing his own affliction and his own sorrow, and stretching out his hands toward this house, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and render to every man according to all his ways, whose heart you know. God knows our hearts. You only know men's hearts. So you can't fool God. You might think you're fooling people, but you definitely cannot fool God. Then he said in verse number 31, that they may fear you and walk in your ways. They may reverence you. God deserves to be reverenced. He deserves, when we consider his mercy and his long-suffering, how he put up with us as individuals and put up with us corporately, he deserves to be reverenced. He deserves for us to be in awe of him, that they may fear you and walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. See, we have to endure to the end. We can't work, we can't live for God for 30, 40, 50 years and then at the tail end back out. No, we got to endure to the end. And only God knows when the end is. And your end and my end may be different, but we all have an end. And we should have a desire when the Lord comes for us, whether collectively or individually, we want to hear him say, well done. And he will not say well done if we don't endure until the end. All right? It's not time to quit. It is not time to sit down. In fact, as we see the day approaching, as we see the day of the Lord, as we see his return approaching, we need to intensify and sharpen our walk. We need to, as the Bible says in one place, we need to lay aside. It means put down, lay aside every sin and every weight that does so easily beset us. And we're living in a day and time that easy, simple things often can beset us. So we have to be sober in our minds. We have to deal with the reality. We shared in Bible study on Tuesday, I believe, that we are actually in a war. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that we are behind the enemy lines. We are in enemy territory. And we have to fight the good fight of faith. And we have to lay hold, as the scripture says, to eternal life. But sometimes in the process of day-to-day living, we get sidetracked. And maybe there's a possibility for us to get at ease in our mind, thinking that we have a lot of time to get certain things done. And the things that may have been once important to us, the things of God, the things that pertains unto holiness and righteousness, as God calls it, not as man calls it, because sometimes we can get tripped up in a false righteousness, and that's not what God is looking for. Yes, we need to return, but we need to return to God. We don't need to return to a building per se, or we don't need to return to human tradition per se, or how we used to do certain things, but what's most important is that we return to God. And if we return to God with our whole heart, then I believe the Bible says in one place that he will direct our steps, because he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we're not coming in places like this, or we're not coming in gatherings like this for show, but we're coming hopefully to grow. And the way that we grow is that we have to lay aside the things that are really not that important. I hear the Bible said in one place that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things, that we spend the energy that God loans us. He said he'll add those things to us, because God is our Father, and he knows everything that we need before we even ask him. And he told us in one place, take no thought. Listen, God is concerned about all of us. And the most important thing that he is concerned with, he is concerned about our salvation. He is concerned that we be light and salt in the earth. Now, we cannot be light and salt if we allow ourselves to be polluted, if we allow our minds to be polluted, if we allow our hearts to be polluted by the wickedness that is encroaching on the church and on the world, even as we speak. We need to return. We need to return with our heart, because once God really has a hold of our heart, everything else will fall in line. I hear an Old Testament, one of the writers in the Old Testament said that these people, they draw near me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. I wonder if you could ask yourself, you ain't got to ask nobody else, but ask yourself, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is it really? How far is your heart from God? Maybe I need to take this off so my antenna, because I want you to hear. I don't need to be fading in and out. So we're going to beat the enemy. Amen. And make sure you can hear me so I'm not blocking this antenna. But where's your heart? That's what I need to ask myself. How close is your heart? That's what we need to ask ourselves to God. How far Have you traveled from God? You know, you can be in a building and still be far away from God. You can be around saints and still be far away from God. And what you need to understand is that the effects of sin can be visibly seen. And here's something that we need to remember. We are members one of another. So if I'm living in sin and my heart is far from God, that affects you. It's not just me, because we're a part of one body. You see what I'm saying? So if I'm living in sin, right, then maybe, just maybe, I'm causing some undue hardship and the residuals of things that are not pleasant and good for us to come to you, because we're in this together. We're in this together. All right? So let me get back here. What verse am I at, 32 or 31? 31. Let's get 31. That they may fear you and walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Now, what's interesting here, he's talking about Israel, but look what happens in the next verse. Look what happened in the next. See, God had all of us in mind. And see, God is not willing that any should perish. So even here in the Old Testament, we can see the grace of God and the far reaches of salvation that God wants everybody to receive salvation. Look at verse 32. Also concerning the stranger. You see that? You see that? Who is not of your people, Israel. So he's talking about non-Jews. He's talking about us, y'all. But has come from a far country for your great name's sake and your mighty power and your outstretched arm. If he comes, if a stranger comes, you see that? If he comes, yeah, if he comes and prays toward this house, hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, and do all for which the stranger calls to you. Look at that. That's grace right there. Huh? That's mercy for a stranger. Huh? Because I think the Bible says that we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Huh? We were strangers. Huh? We didn't receive the covenant. But here God had us in mind way back here in 2 Chronicles. He said, hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do all for which the stranger calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know that may know your name and fear you reverently and worshipfully, as do your people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. All right? So he's praying now. So now we move to the seventh chapter of this same book. And this is very, very familiar. 2 Chronicles 7, we'll start at 12. So after he's praying, he's in verse 12 of the seventh chapter, it says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. You see that? Then he said, if I shut up heaven so no rain falls, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So God saying, if I do these things, then in verse 14, if my people who were called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. How many of us are willing to humble ourselves? All right. It's going to go deeper than that, though. It's going to go because God wants us to return. Yeah. He wants us to return. How many of us are willing to humble ourselves and pray? It appears for the moment that the regular prayer services are not well attended. All right. For whatever reason. But if my people who are called by my name. Well, wait a minute. Let's back up, if you'll allow me to back up for a minute. How many will acknowledge, or can you acknowledge, that there's some things that you need God to do in your life? There's some things that is anybody seem like they are experiencing a drought in any area of your life? It seemed like something's kind of barren. Some fruit you've been sowing, and it seems like it hasn't turned the way that you would like for it to turn. And it seems like there's things that try to choke off you being successful and the things that you would want to do for God. Or it seems like maybe there's some things that's trying to choke off even your life. There's some attacks that are being aimed at you and that are being garrisoned and marshaled at you, and they're being garrisoned and marshaled at your family. There's some strife that seems to be escalating. There's some contention, and it seems like it's just a desert type situation, and it almost looked hopeless. In fact, that situation may have moved in the order of priority on your prayer list, either up or down. The reason why it moved up, because you have a sense of urgency, and you're really tired, and you want God to come through and break through and rectify this situation. And the possible reason why it has move down on your prayer list because you've been struggling with this for so long, and you just resign to say, oh well, I guess it ain't gonna never change. But I come to tell you that if we return, change is possible. If we return, because the enemy wants you to think that there's no hope. But whenever God shows up, all of God and everything that he is comes with him. Remember, he told Moses, I am that I am. You see, so the most important thing that we need permanent and prominent and priority in our life is the very presence of God. That's what we need. All right? But now we have to understand there are certain conditions that God loves to move in. Right? God wants constant communication with us. God wants open in honest communication with us. God wants us again to own what we've done, own what we thought, own what we said, and make that right. So he said, if the heavens are shut up and no rain falls, showers of blessings, if ain't no showers of blessings, the heavens are shut up, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And again, the reason that he sends these things is because there's some behavior that he wants to correct. He said, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves. I asked how many people are willing to humble themselves. We had a show of hands. How many people are willing to pray? Now we're streaming. I wish the cameras were pan. All right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, just let me park that there for a moment. Seek his face. How many people are willing to seek the face of God? All right. Now it's going to get a little deeper, and those of you who are mothers, you may be able to help me with this. The next thing in the Amplified says, crave. When you were pregnant, mothers, you can help me. When you were pregnant, and husbands, you can help me, because you had to deal with certain things about the cravings. But how many mothers remember the cravings you had, if you had any? I just need a show of hands. If you ever had, okay. And whatever you craved for, you weren't going to be satisfied until that was met. Is that correct, mothers? All right. So now, God allows us, even who are not mothers, to understand what the mothers went through as far as craving to a certain extent. But here, God's saying, I want my people to humble themselves. I want my people to pray. I want my people to seek my face, and I want my people to go deeper than that. I want my people to have a craving for God that nothing else and no substitute. If you allow me, if you were craving for peanut brittle, a Snickers wouldn't do, mothers, right? Although a Snickers is good, right? If you were craving for peanut brittle, your husband would not bring you a Three Musketeers or an Almond Joy. No, I want peanut brittle, whatever the craving was, right? Y'all remember, right? So God is saying, I want you to crave for me, my people. I want you to crave for me where nothing else matters but me. That's the craving. I want that insatiable hunger. I want that drive because I want you to crave for me with all your heart. That's what I want. And he said, and require of necessity my face. No, I don't want a substitute. I want God. He said, and then turn from their wicked ways. So how many willing to crave for God? All right. Willing to crave. Now remember, you're saying this. We're not making you, but you're saying this. And require of necessity my face. How many are willing to require a face-to-face with God, a face-to-face with God, to be in his presence. All right, okay. Then he said, and turn from their wicked ways. How many got wicked ways that we need to turn from? Wait a minute, y'all was putting your hands up for everything else. All unrighteousness is sin. Huh? Remember, he said we got to take ownership. Huh? Remember the prodigal? Huh? When he came home, he didn't come home saying, well, you know, Dad, you're supposed to. He said, no, I've sinned. He was still part of the family, but he had to own his stuff. How many are willing this morning to own your stuff? Some of us got more stuff. Some of us got a little stuff. Some of us got combination stuff, a multiplicity of stuff, but we all got some stuff, whether it's a little bit or a lot. He said, meet these conditions, then will I hear from heaven. Some have the audacity to want God to hear from heaven and heal their land and don't even acknowledge their sin. We want God to play hopscotch with our sin. Huh? You know how we used to play hopscotch? You throw something down, and then wherever the thing is, you know, you hop, but you don't touch that. That's how we want God to do with our sin. We want God to hop over our sin and just get us to the thing where we want, and we turn around, and God ain't doing that. Huh? God ain't playing them type of games. He said, throw that sin down, and you deal with that sin. God ain't not going hopscotch over our sin. We got to deal with it. Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Bible says if we say that we have not sinned, then we're liars. So what we gonna do with that? We got to return. All right, so now we can get to Joel, because Solomon was prophesying and he was praying. Actually, I believe he was kind of intercessor. He was interceding. Huh? Something that was going to happen down the line. So here in the history now of God's people in the Old Testament, just a little bit of a background of Joel. Joel was the second of the minor prophets, as some of the Bible researchers declare. And there's not a whole lot about his background here. It's one of the shortest books in the Old Testament. And all Joel will tell you about himself is who his father is. Yeah, in the beginning of the book, he tells you who his father is. And then he says, the word of the Lord came to me. So now here's the situation. God sends an army. He sends a mighty army of locusts, right? He sends an army, and the priests, He tells the priests to cry. The beasts, the animals are crying. The land is crying. All because of the sin of God's people. See, sin contaminates the entire environment. You may think that you're doing one thing and this is my life and I do what I want to do, but if you are a child of God and you sin, it has ripple effects. I mean ripple effects. That little, well, I'm going to just do this little thing. It goes out exponentially and it ripples. It can affect your house. It can affect your neighborhood. It can affect your community. It can affect the city, the nation, and the world at large. So because the children of Israel had sinned and turned away from walking according to the word of God, their whole environment was affected. The animals were affected. The land was affected. He told the priests, they had even stopped offering sacrifices. If you read the book of Job, everything had stopped. It was like it went like a screeching halt. All because the people needed to return. They sinned. I have a desire, and I don't think it's just my desire alone. I want to see God move mightily amongst us. There's people that I want to see delivered. I'm talking about right here among us. There are people that I want God to bless. There are people, we have brothers and sisters who are dealing with certain things that we should have a desire to want to see them free. We should have a desire to want to see them worshiping God freely, unashamed, worshiping God and doing great things for God. There are people that we have a desire, or we should have a desire, to be so impacted by the Spirit of God and by the presence of God that everyone will know who know them and who don't know them, that it's God operating in their life. We want the glory of God to be revealed and manifested in each and everybody's life to the degree that God has purpose for them to be a part of the kingdom of God. And that's not happening for all of us. So that means there's something I believe that we have a responsibility to do. When we return individually from wherever place our heart is, right? Bible does say a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. But if we return individually, if each individual will return to God from wherever we are, whether we're like that, see, God's here. We might, some maybe just right there. All you need to do is just put that last thing down or resolve in your mind that, all right, it's God. That's it. It's not God or it's God. Now, some may be here. And some may be here, and some may be way out there. But wherever you are, you and God know where you are. God knows where I am, and I know where I am. But if we all can get it like this, who knows what God will do? Who knows what? God's waiting to do it. He's willing to do it, but there's certain conditions that must be met. In order, watch this, in order to maintain the integrity of our great God, right? In order to maintain the righteousness of our great God, in order to maintain the holiness of our great God, we need to return. We need to return. We need to return from wherever life has taken us, wherever situations have taken us, wherever circumstances, heartaches, misunderstandings, wherever they have taken us, Don't blame God for it. Just return. God is bigger than your situation. He's bigger than your circumstance. He is bigger than your wish list. I wish God would do this, and I wish God would do that, and I wish this, and I wish that. God said, all I want is you. All I want is you. And if I can get you like I want you, and you get me like I want you to get me, you'll see things a little different. But you got to crave God. You got to crave God. You know when you get a craving for something? You get a craving for something. So now here's the situation in Joel. It looks like a desperate situation. God sends his army of locusts. He sends his army, and things look devastating. It looks bad. Anybody in this situation that looks bad? No, you can be honest. It don't look that good. That's all right. Joel chapter 2. Verse 12, he says, therefore also now says the Lord, turn. You want some things to work out? Turn. Watch this. And keep turning. And keep on coming to me with all your heart. See, it's not a one time and that's it. Because sometimes we get caught up in emotional fervor of an event. And we, okay. But then what happens when the emotional or the awe of an event wears off and you got to live? He said, therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored. You see that? That's what God wants. He wants us to return. He said, rend your hearts. Don't come for a show. Don't come for a show. Rend your hearts, not your garments, because we're good. I'm talking about humans. We know how to put on a show. I'm not saying you. I'm saying humans. We know how to put on a show. We can even, some of us can even cry and produce real water. But the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? So don't come beating your chest. No. God said, rend your hearts. God is not impressed with acting. Let acting stay in Hollywood. Maybe we're too close to Hollywood. But let acting stay in Hollywood. He said, rend your hearts and not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For he's gracious. You see that? And merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And he revokes his sentence of evil when his conditions are met. So God said, I can rebuke the devourer, but I need some conditions. I need you. And God ain't worried about your stuff. He wants you. God's not worrying about the things that we have accumulated or we might accumulate, but what God wants is us. Because guess what? Soon and very soon, we're leaving this stuff behind anyway. Is that not our intention? Is that not our desire? We're going to leave it. So he said, rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And he revokes his sentence of evil, which when his conditions are met. Who knows? Joel said, who knows? But what he will turn, revoke his sentence of evil, leaving a blessing behind him, giving you the means with which to serve him. Even Assyria, this thing is acting up, but that's okay, I'm keep going. Even a cereal or meal offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. God said, listen, when we get it together, I got some blessings. They come with God. They come with him. But we got to get close to him and stay close to him. So when he wants to dispense the blessings, he doesn't illustratively have to look for, where is my son? I want to bless him. Where is my daughter? Adam, where art thou? It's time for me to give out some blessings, and here you out hanging out amongst the trees. Just get close to him. Draw near to God. He'll draw nigh to you. God said, I got some blessings when the conditions are met. Don't we put that on our children? Don't we put conditions on our children? Have we not the right to put conditions? Okay, if you take care of this and you take care of that, then this is going to happen. So surely God can put conditions on us, right? So then he says, blow the trumpet in Zion, set apart a fast, a day of restraint and humility. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elderly people. Gather the children. I mean, everybody. Right? Gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom who is legally exempt from attending go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. None is exempt from the humiliation. So that means everybody got to do this. We need everybody to return. Because if everybody returns, everybody's going to get blessed. And I don't want to be a hindrance from you getting blessed. And I please don't be a hindrance from me getting blessed. Amen. He said, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, have pity and spare your people, O Lord. Give not your heritage to reproach, that the heathen nation should rule over them or use a byword against them. Why should they be saying among the peoples, where is their God? See, we don't want the world to say, where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your God? We want to be living so close to God. We want our hearts to be so close to God that they won't even have to ask. They'll see God moving in our life. They'll see God's presence on our life. They'll see God in our countenance. They'll see God in our manner of speaking. They'll see God on how we interact with all of our interpersonal contacts and relationships. They won't have to ask, where is our God? But sometimes, because we can get far away from God, they might scratch their head like, where's their God? I thought they were saved. And they doing this? I thought they was church people. I thought they were church people. Oh, we're not church people. We're God's people. We are the church. The church is a living organism. All right? But we need to return. Anybody feel the need to return? Yeah. Amen. That's good. That's good. All right, last scripture I'll share with us. Proverbs 14 and 34, it says, uprightness and right standing with God, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation elevate a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. The problem is sin. We need to own ours. We need to confess ours. We need to forsake ours and return to God. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's time for us to simply return. Amen? That's it. That's it. We need to take this to heart, because I believe the Lord is soon to come. And it won't be time to get ready. We must be ready. And we need to return. So the altar is open. The altar is open. Now, I'm standing up here, but I'm here at the altar for myself. I want you to understand that, because I know that I need to return. I get this first. The word deals with me first. And after I have shared God's word, what I believe God has put on my heart to you, and you receive it, I don't want to be a castaway. So I'm standing for myself. I'm standing and I'm acknowledging that, God, yes, I'm willing to humble myself. Not a false humility. I'm not coming to the altar just to be seen or because it's the right thing to do at the right time. But I'm imagining in my mind, although I'm around people, but it's me and God right now. This is a me and God type of a moment right now. And I'm acknowledging where I am because he knows where I am. I'm acknowledging my wrong. I'm acknowledging my sin. I'm acknowledging my wrong thought. I'm acknowledging my wrong action. I'm acknowledging my wrong words. I'm acknowledging all of that. I'm not patting on it. I'm not, you know, trying to cover it up. But God, here I am. Here I am. I'm willing to humble myself. I am willing to pray. I am willing and I am determined to pray more. I am willing to seek God's face. I am willing to listen, not only seek his face, but listen for his voice. I am willing to crave for God. I'm willing to move everything out of the way that tries to block my craving for God. I'm willing to return to God. I'm willing to get that first love. That first love that I had with that zeal and that love for God that when we first got saved, how whatever God led us to do, we found joy in doing that. I'm willing to serve God with a new heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I'm willing to serve people because I serve God by serving people. I'm willing to abandon negative attitudes and negative stereotypes that I that I had toward my brothers and my sisters. I'm willing to not judge on the outward appearance because I understand through the word of God that man judges on the out, but God looks on the heart. I'm willing to follow peace with all men and holiness, the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. God, I'm willing. Search me, God. Search me. Search us. I don't want to be selfish, but I'm praying for me, and I'm praying for you as well. So join me in this prayer. God, search us. Search us. Search our hearts. Know our thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from sin, O God. Lead us in the way everlasting. O God, help us. Help us, Jesus. If you don't help us, there is no help for us. God, we need your help. Forgive us of our sins. You know them. You know every one of them. Wash us, and we shall be white as snow. Wash us with your word. Refresh us with your Holy Ghost. Refresh us with your Spirit. Help us, oh God, to really lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We need patience to run this race. Help us, O God. Let us, O God, look to you. You are the author. You are the finisher of our faith. And God, we are determined to please you. We are desirous, Lord God, to make you happy. We're desirous, Lord God, to put a smile on your face in the name of Jesus. Keep us from evil, God, that it may not grieve us. Oh, God, help us to be about your business. Help us to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness. Help us to put our full trust and confidence in you. Your word declares it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Oh, God, look on our families in the name of Jesus. Hit Amosah in the name of Jesus. Our families, oh God, we're crying out for our families. Oh God, we need your help.
We need your intervention in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that every attack that the enemy has planned, will plan, or is planning, we want it to be aborted and interrupted and arrested even right now. You told us about the promise of salvation and the promise of the Holy Ghost. You said it was for us. It was for our children and to them that are afar off. And God, some of our children, even with the Holy Ghost, they're struggling. They're struggling, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Break the struggle even right now. Call to their remembrance right now, the day that you filled them with the Holy Ghost, the day that you spoke to them clearly, to their level of understanding of what you called them to do. Some of our children, oh God, are not walking in their calling. Oh God, break them free from the shackles and the entanglements of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Oh God, refresh our children in the name of Jesus. Some of us have legacy, oh God, legacy of ministry that the devil's trying to kill out, but we declare he is a defeated foe in the name of Jesus. We declare that our children and our grandchildren will do great exploits for God. That's why the enemy is attacking them so. But with your stripes, we're healed. We came healing for our children, spiritual healing in the name of Jesus. Spiritual healing for our children, physical healing for our children, mental healing for our children, social healing for our children, financial healing for our children. Lord God, raise up an army, oh God, raise up an army of warriors, of men and women of valor, Lord God. Stir up the gift, oh God, stir up the gift that you gifted every one of us in the name of Jesus. God, bless our children, oh God. Keep them from the enemy, oh God. Cause your spirit, oh God, to lift up a standard, oh God. Let them walk away from evil influences in the name of Jesus. Let them walk away from ungodly ties in the name of Jesus. Oh God, pour out your spirit afresh in the name of Jesus. Bless this local congregation. We're your people, oh God. We're called after your name. Draw our hearts to you, oh God. Lord God, we can give you better. We can give you better praise. We can give you better worship. We can give you better service. Oh God, you bless us with life. You bless us with health. You bless us with strength. Oh God, you bless us with talent and abilities that come from you, oh God. And we give, oh God, ourselves to you, Lord, not just in a song, but we literally give ourselves to you, God. Work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Use us for your glory. You get the glory out of our lives. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we are nothing, but we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us. Strengthen us for the day. Strengthen us for the day that we're living in. Cause us to triumph. Cause us to bring glory to your name. Cause us to walk in our ambassadorship, that we might bring people into your kingdom, oh God. Have your way in us. Have your way in us. Oh God, some of us, oh God, our marriages, we need your help. We need your help, oh God. Our spouses, oh God, bless. Oh God, you know every heart. We read that today. You know every heart. You know every heart. Oh God, touch the heart of our spouses in the name of Jesus. Touch the hearts of our children. Oh God. break down contrary spirits, in the name of Jesus. Break that wall of resistance down in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let there be harmony. Let there be reconciliation. Let there be new avenues for ministry with husbands and wives and children, oh God. Let it break forth. Let it break forth. Let your power be gloriously manifested in all of our lives, oh God, that you might get the praise, that you might get the glory, that you might get the renown, oh God, because you are so deserving of it. Not unto us, but unto you be glory, honor, dominion, and power. Bless us and cause us to be blessings to everybody that we come in contact with. God, we are returning and we will continue to return to you with all of our hearts. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for your forbearing. Oh God, what would we do without you? We bless your name. Help us to walk in this prayer. Walk in agreement with this prayer. We will never be the same. We ask. We humbly ask. This in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God praise. God, you're great. God is great. He's great. God's great. He's great. Our God is so great. Our God is so awesome. Our God is so mighty. We bless the name of our God. How excellent is your name, God, in all the earth. Anybody wants to come to God for the first time? Anybody has never repented of your sins? You've never been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ? Never been filled with the Holy Ghost? God wants you to come to him this morning. He wants you to come to him. Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Anybody? We must make the call. We must make the appeal. Anybody. Well, God bless you. Thank you, ministers. Thank you. Thank you. We are the Apostolic Faith Home Assembly Church, located in the city of Los Angeles, California. We thank you for tuning in to our service on today. We hope that you were blessed by what you experienced.